You're listening to New Age Hipster Radio, home of spiritual rambles and high-vibe convos. Always dogma-free and a totally cool place to be. You can head to newagehipster.co for more spiritual awesome sauce, but for now, here's your host, Bix.
Hey, gorgeous soul, and welcome to another episode of New Age Hipster Radio Podcast. On the show today, I am going to talk to you about the Lion's Gate. I've actually gone down a massive rabbit hole of researching the Lion's Gate. I'm really, really excited to share with you what I found out, as well as to just kind of share some of my own thoughts and opinions and ideas and beliefs around what it is, what we can do with it, how we can kind of tap into this really potent energy that's available to us at this time. So for those of you who are brand new to spirituality, who just got here yesterday, you might never have heard of the Lion's Gate. If you've been around for at least a year, or even actually everyone's posting about it already, so you know, you've probably heard about the Lion's Gate. And so what it is essentially is it's a portal. And we can talk about what portals are in a second. And a lot of people are like, portals, what does that even mean? Are they even real? Like, what's going on? But essentially, it's described as a portal that opens just before the 8th of the 8th. It's said to open on the 26th of July till the 12th of August. That's the kind of date that people are going with for when this portal is open, but it said that it reaches its peak on the 8th of the 8th. So why is it called Lion's Gate? Because it happens in the sign of Leo. So we're in Leo season and it's very connected to Leo energy. So what does this all mean? Like, what is this all about? All right, so I have been a big fan of the Lion's Gate for many, many years. I love a good portal. When the New Age community and the woo-woo, witchy, starseed communities start getting into something, I'm like, oh, what's that? I want a piece of that. I want to find out more about that. So it's said that this is a really beautiful portal, for a very powerful portal for manifestation. That's one of the reasons that people have really kind of gotten excited about this, because we have it occurring on the 8th of the 8th. So in numerology, 8 is a very powerful number of abundance, financial prosperity, success. It is also a very spiritual number. It is the number of infinity. You can go on your own journey and go down a whole rabbit hole of what does number 8 mean, but it is a number that people like a lot because of its connection to prosperity, material wealth, infinity, spirituality. It's just like, What's not to like, right? What's not to like with the 8? So that's part of the reason that we've kind of jumped on the bandwagon here of like, oh, let's make it about prosperity, let's make it about financial success, and let's make it about manifestation, which of course it is and it can be, but there's other things going on here too. So I've jumped all over it. I've been really into it the last few years. I've kind of being into it from the perspective of, okay, I'm going to just kind of do my thing. I'm going to connect with the energy of the Sirius star and the Sirius star system, which has a lot of connections with ancient Egypt. So this is another reason that people are excited about it, because people love ancient Egypt. We love connecting with the ancient Egyptian deities, at least I do. So that's another reason that we're excited about this. So like I said, I got into it. I was connecting with it. I was, in previous years, I've called on my Syrian guides. I've worked with Thoth and Isis and all of these beautiful beings to kind of guide me through this portal. And what I've used this portal for, and what I use any portal for, whenever somebody's talking about portal opening, we have the 8-8 portal, we have the 11-11 portal, we have the solstice portal, we have the equinox portal, we have a whole bunch of portals that are opening up all the time. And you know, anything can be a portal, right? You do not need to wait for one of these magical days before you go, okay, I'm going to move through and shift and change and release and go to the next incarnation of me, the next, you know, the next chapter. You don't need to wait for one of these, but when they happen, it can add a little bit of a boost to your magic. So what I like to do on these days is really kind of just go through this process of, what do I want to let go of? And more than anything, these portals are just really beautiful times to just stop and pause and take a moment to think about where you're at. Where are you at on your life journey? Are you happy with the direction that you're going in? What is weighing you down? What do you not want to take through with you? And then you can write some stuff down, you can do some spell work, you can do some kundalini yoga, you can do some prayer, whatever your thing is, and you can let all of that stuff go. And then you can sit in this portal energy of this space in between. These portals are kind of like, you step through, you leave what you don't want to take with you, you step into the portal, and then you're like, okay, here I am, like activating, shifting, changing. It's almost like you can almost visualize it, I guess, as like stepping into a cocoon, and it's like, okay, I'm in the portal, stuff is happening, even if I don't know what it is. And then you step out onto the other side, and on the other side, that's where all of the new is going to come in. So that's, you know, your opportunity to set some intentions as to what it is that you want to take with you into the next chapter. Like, who do you want to be? What do you want to experience? All of that kind of stuff. So it's really like, you know, it's kind of spiritual development / manifestation 101. You release what you no longer want to carry with you. You set intentions for the next chapter. And so I like to see these portals as, you know, almost like physical portals, like these gateways that we walk through. And before you, when you're standing outside the gateway, like we are now in this, it's a 26 today, so it's kind of the opening of the portal as I'm recording this. And we stand outside the portal, we're kind of in the portal, the energy of the portal, but you know, the main part of it is in front of us. And we can stand there and we can say, all right, what am I ready to shed? What am I ready to release? And one of the visualizations I like to do is I like to see myself with like a little backpack, and I'm standing in front of this, like this gateway. And I've got my little backpack, and I'm like, ooh, what do I need to take with me, and what can I let go? And I visualize myself taking the backpack off, opening it up, and having a look and seeing what's in there. Oh, there's some beliefs that are like, oh, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough, oh, I'm not like getting enough likes on my YouTube videos, on my podcast, you know, all of that stuff. And it's like, okay, I'm gonna just put that stuff down. And you know, whatever else you kind of see and whatever else you find in there, you might also find in your backpack that you have some things like, oh wow, okay, I didn't know that I actually had a bit more self-confidence, or I had, you know, this self-love that I've been working on, and all these things. It's like, yeah, I definitely want to keep those. So you know, you repack your bag and you're like, all right, the stuff that I don't want, I'm going to leave down here. The stuff that's coming with me, I'll put back in my backpack. And then you can start to kind of move forward. And as you move forward, you can start to set intentions for like, okay, but what do I want to experience? What do I want to kind of have with me on the other side? And as you move into the gateway, you can then see your guides, your angels, the Sirian star beings can come to you, and they can put things in your backpack. Like, they can give you blessings, support, guidance, you know, whatever it is that you need. And then, you know, you step out the other side and you're like, oh wow, okay, I really shifted some stuff, I received some cool blessings, this was amazing. So that's kind of been my process. You know, that's a very like simplified version of what it is for me. There's a lot more going on than that, but that's kind of the nutshell version. So I've done that like the last few years and I've really enjoyed it and I've really tapped into it and I've definitely felt this really beautiful connection with Assyrian star beings that for me has just been amazing. I might talk more about that in a second. But what I did this year, as we were coming into this portal, I was kind of sitting with it and I was thinking, what actually is this? Like, what is going on? Like, it's people are talking about Sirius and ancient Egypt and this numerology of 8-8, and it's like, how can all of this really be, how can all of this go together? And so I went on a really deep dive, and I've done this in previous years but never really found the information that I was looking for. You know, like, the problem with modern spirituality is that you Google this stuff, right? Like, you Google Lionsgate 8-8 or whatever you're Googling, something along those lines, and you get a whole bunch of blog posts, and you get blog posts from like Glamour magazine, from the Herald Sun, from like all these different, just a whole bunch of different blog posts. And every time you click on one, it's just like people are kind of just saying the same thing. Oh, it's the connection with Sirius and Egypt and the 8-8, and it's a magical portal and you can manifest and it's really cool. And it's like, okay, like that's cool, but I already knew that, you know, like I already knew that. Like, what's the history of it? Where did it come from? Why are we doing this? And this is something that I'm getting more and more into. I've always been a little bit like this, where I've always wanted to know why we're doing things, much to some of my teachers' dismay, or not really dismay, but maybe discomfort. As you can hear when I did a podcast recently with Dot Winter. It's amazing. She's an amazing healer, and I actually trained with her the energy healing that some of the energy healing courses that I've done, I did with her. And she spoke in that interview about an instance where I had disagreed with her and questioned some of the teachings. And I am very much that person. And when I did my Kundalini yoga teacher training, I was questioning a lot. So I want to understand, you know, I want to know, like, are we just doing this? Are we just getting on the bandwagon here? Are we just seeing that someone's like 8-8 Lionsgate and we're like, cool, yeah, 8-8 Lionsgate, but do we really know what it is or what it means or why we're celebrating and connecting with it? So I went onto a Google and I was like, right, what is the truth about Lionsgate? What's really going on? And in previous years, I haven't been able to find a lot. This year I went a little bit deeper. So essentially what's happening here is that we have a heliacal rising of Sirius. Now I hope I'm saying heliacal right, because I actually had to watch on YouTube how to pronounce that because I just read it in places. I'm not an astrologer, okay? If you're an astrologer and I'm saying this wrong and this is not even correct information, please let me know. Although I have source checked this. I have fact checked this. So, but you know, do your own fact checking always. Because I don't think we're doing that enough in the spiritual community. I think we're just reading other people's blogs and we're like, oh, so-and-so said this and somebody else said that. So the heliacal rising of a star, and we're talking about the heliacal rising of Sirius, the Sirius star, happens when a star has been behind the sun for a long period of time. So we haven't really seen it in the sky for a while. And then what happens is it starts to shift and move. I don't know what's happening up there, but things are shifting and moving around. And then what we have is a heliacal rising, and it's the first time that the star, it rises like just before the sun. So we can see the star rising, like how you get the, you know, the when Venus rises and you see the morning star and it's Venus, right? It's that kind of thing. And so Sirius, the star, comes up and it rises just before the sun comes up. So the heliacal rising is like the first time that we see that star again, basically, in the eastern sky at sunrise. So when does this happen? Now, I went on like a huge journey trying to find out, okay, so this is what we're talking about here is the Heliacal Rising of Sirius. But where and when and how can it possibly be on the 8th of the 8th? Like how, this seems like a really big coincidence to me that we're celebrating this happening on the 8th of the 8th. And what I found out, gorgeous souls, is that the Heliacal Rising of Sirius in Egypt at the moment, in Cairo, in Egypt, is on the 8th of the 8th. So this is a fact that I finally found out. And I will tell you, it was so hard to find that out. It was so hard to find that out. I actually had to like sign up to this astrology website and like type in the longitude and latitude of Cairo to find out like what was happening. And I was like, wow, okay, it is actually on that day. And I read some other people's blog posts about it as well. And this is part of the reason that we're all very excited about the Lionsgate right now, because it lines up perfectly, the Heliacal Rising of Sirius lines up perfectly at the moment with the 8th of the 8th. And this is a rare occurrence. And I think it's only going to be like another 10 years. I think it stays on the 8th of the 8th for like 10 years or something. And then it moves on. So it's not, in a couple of years, it'll be on the 9th of the 8th, but we'll probably still say it's the 8th of the 8th because we'll be like, oh, it's close enough and it sounds cool. So this is why everyone's like really excited about it. But this Heliacal Rising, a lot of people seem to be getting confused. At least that's what I found when I was Googling it, because the Heliacal Rising date is different depending on where you are in the world. So while the Heliacal Rising of Sirius is in Egypt, in Cairo, on the 8th of the 8th, in Chicago, it's going to be on the 12th of August. So some people are like saying that it's not, you know, it's not in alignment with this 8-8 portal doesn't mean anything because the Heliacal Rising is just on like different random dates depending on where you are in the world. But it is on the 8th of the 8th in Cairo. So I was like, wow, okay, this is cool. This is so cool. So the Sirius star for the ancient Egyptians was a really big deal. It was a really big deal. It was like one of their faves. Like they loved Sirius. And there's so many different reasons for this. One thing that I found was this beautiful, and I haven't seen this anywhere else, but I found a quote that said Sirius star in ancient Egypt was considered to be the power behind the sun. So the Sirius star was almost like the great central sun, as we would call it in like the ascension teachings, you know, it's like the power behind the sun. And then I read that they said that the physical body was kept alive by the sun and the spiritual body was kept alive by Sirius. I don't know about you, but that's like, that really hit me in the star chakra, in the heart chakra. I was like, oh wow, okay. So this knowing this kind of adds this whole extra level and layer onto the Sirius star and like why it was so important to the ancient Egyptians and the fact that it's rising in Egypt right now on the 8th of the 8th just feels very, very exciting, very magical. So part of the reason that Sirius was really important to them as well is that there's a connection with the flooding of the Nile and the Heliacal Rising of Sirius. So back in ancient times, the Heliacal Rising, it's actually not, it no longer coincides with the flooding of the Nile because of the, what's it called? The precession of the equinox. Again, I'm a little bit of a noob when it comes to astrology, but because of the precession of the equinox, things are shifting, right? Things have shifted quite a lot since then. So the rising of Sirius now doesn't align with the flooding of the Nile, but it used to, or so they say. And this was a big deal because the flooding of the Nile kind of sounds like a bad thing, but actually the ancient Egyptians had in place irrigation systems and they knew what to do when the Nile rose, and so they could use this flooding of the Nile to really like kickstart their season, to grow their crops, to have water in the in their community. And it was such an important time for them. So the connection with seeing that star at the same time that there was water everywhere. This is part of the like abundance energy around it, right? The abundance energy of the Lion's Gate. Because for the ancient Egyptians, this was a time that was all about abundance and growth. And so, we want to tap into a little bit of that, right? We want to tap into that abundance and growth energy and think about how we can use that in our own lives. So there's more to, gosh, there's so much. I've written so many notes. But there's more to Sirius than just what I've mentioned so far. And a lot of what I'm going to say now is partly just from my own research, my own thoughts and feelings. You don't have to take any of this on board if it's not doesn't resonate with you. And at the end of the day, we don't have any evidence for this. This is just, some of the stuff that our star seeds like to get into and kind of think about. So I am a bit of a fan of ancient astronaut theories, and some of these theories suggest that actually beings from Sirius were actually the gods of Egypt. So Thoth and Isis and all the Neteru were actually ancient aliens. So whether or not you want to, what you want to do with that is totally up to you. But there is, if you have a look into the Dogon tribe, you will find that there's this amazing tribe of people in Africa who have this advanced technology, even though they're very tribal people. They have all this advanced technology, and advanced wisdom when it comes to astrology and a whole bunch of other things as well. And they know things that other cultures didn't figure out for like really, really long time. Have a look into it, research it, the Dogon tribe. It's absolutely fascinating. You can go down like such a rabbit hole. I feel like I've said rabbit hole like 10 times in this episode. But this stuff is just like, I get so into it. So have a look, research them, because they say that beings from Sirius came to them and taught them all this stuff. And that's part of their, like, part of their lore. It's part of their lore, LORE. It's part of their, culture. It's part of their stories and their myths and their legends, is that these beings from Sirius came and gave them this information. And so, if that happened, it wouldn't be so far-fetched to think that also beings from Sirius came to ancient Egypt, which isn't that far away from where the Dogon tribe are, and imparted some knowledge as well. So you can take, as I said, you can take or leave that, but I do think that's a really interesting kind of connection there. So when you start getting into all like the star seed kind of stuff, and we start talking about Sirius in terms of, oh, are we from there? Have we had incarnations in Sirius? The whole star seed thing is absolutely fascinating, but for me, I feel like it's way, way too simplified. Like when people say everyone from Sirius is blue, like everyone from the Pleiades is a healer. For me, it's just like really, because on Earth, think about all of the different beings that we have here on Earth, right? Like we have humans, but we also have cows, and we have spiders, and we have mushrooms, and we have all of these different kind of beings here, these different life forms. So when people say, everyone from Sirius is blue, I just, take it with a grain of salt. But for me and my personal experience with Sirius, I have been told by psychics, and I have felt it in my own heart as well, that I do have a really strong connection with Sirius, with the Sirius star system. And I feel like what I know about that is like a tiny little grain of sand compared to what, you know, is the, what is really going on out there. But I remember for a really long time, I was really excited about the Pleiades and I really wanted to be Pleiadian. And I had this session with somebody who said to me that I was Sirian. And I remember being really like disappointed and upset and felt like she was wrong, you know, like she's got this wrong because I'm definitely Pleiadian. But the more I sat with that and the more research I did into Sirius and the more I connected with Sirius star beings and my Sirius star guides and Thoth and Isis and all of the ancient Egyptian deities, the more I felt like, oh, actually, yeah, maybe, maybe this is a better fit for me. So this is very, very simplified, but essentially the energy of this, of the Sirius star system, they're very into wisdom, knowledge, technology, but not technology necessarily how we use it or how we work with it, but just a kind of, you know, the energy of technology, like how can we create, how can we use what we have and create something that is helpful and useful and can spiritual technology as well. It's like something that we can kind of think about with that. So they're very much into teaching, learning, studying. They really want to learn things. They really want to understand things. They really want to kind of, they're very loving and like the, you know, all of the star systems that we tend to work with as star seeds, there's definitely this feeling of they're very loving. Whether or not every being in these star systems is loving, you know, like we like to think, oh, earthlings are very loving, humans are very loving, and we absolutely can be, but not, you know, not always. But the ascended series, and this is what you want to do when you're working with any star beings, whether you're working with the Sirians, the Palladians, whoever you want to work with, something that can be really useful is just to call on the ascended Sirians. You just say, I want to work with the ascended Sirians. And then you, you know, you'll get the ones who are like, who are on the, you know, on the path, on the journey. So yeah, there's this real kind of like mental sort of energy with them where they're figuring things out and they're really kind of like, they have a little bit more of the mental, where the Palladians are kind of a little bit more feeling. But this is like an extreme generalization of just what I've experienced when I've gone into meditation with these beings and what, you know, sort of is generally kind of known about these star systems. I'm under no illusion that this is the be all and end all of what, you know, what's out there. But for me, when I go to Sirius in my meditations, I always meet with Thoth. I love going to Sirius, and it looks a little bit to me when I go, and you know, it's going to look different for everybody. Everyone's going to see it differently. It's like saying, oh, well, I went on a meditation to Earth and I went to a field and it was beautiful. And it's like, well, you could have gone to a field, you could have gone to a temple, you could have gone to a forest, you could have gone to the beach. You know, there's all these different places that we could go, right? And then when you're talking about a star system, not only do you have, okay, well, it could have been a temple or a beach or whatever, it's like, well, it could be lots of different planets in that star system as well. But whenever I go in meditation, and we can also talk about it from the perspective of, well, are you really like going to Sirius as it is now, like the 3D physical Sirius, or are you going to like a higher energetic vibration of Sirius? And it's like a whole thing too. But when I go, I see Thoth, I go to this beautiful temple, and it's really beautiful, but it also feels quite casual, relaxed. And it's this, it feels very Egyptian. There's a real like Egyptian vibe about it too. Although there's like, you know, extra moons in the sky and stuff like that. And I just go there and I just have chats with Thoth. And that's my, you know, that's my experience. And he's told me that he is a being from Sirius. Again, you know, I don't know, maybe you work with him and he tells you something else, and that's fine too. I am not somebody that would ever say, well, I channeled it, so it, therefore it is. I think there are so many different things that we're channeling at different times that we need to hear different things at different times for different reasons, and that's the whole thing too. Anyway, I'm going off on a massive tangent about this, but let's go back to Lionsgate and what you can do with it. So we've talked about a whole bunch of stuff. I thought this was going to be a short one. I always say that. We talked about a whole bunch of stuff here. We've talked about the Heligal rising of Sirius. We've talked about the Nile flooding. We've talked about the Syrian star beings and the Neturu, the ancient Egyptian gods and goddesses, prosperity. So the Lion's Gate is essentially this portal of all of this stuff. Of all of this stuff, it's like the ancient Egyptian magic, ancient Egyptian deities that want to work with us and hold us and support us through this portal. They want us to, I really feel like they want us to let go of what's not serving us. They want us to be effective in the world, right? They want us to be the change makers. They want us to change something. They want us to create new earth, for want of, you know, a better phrase. Maybe we can do a whole podcast on what new earth actually is, what I think it is anyway. So you've got this amazing alignment of Sirius, Egypt. You know, it's really pretty exciting. And I just feel like at this time, we can tap into it easier. We can always tap into this energy. So Lionsgate, you can tap into it anytime. If you're listening to this and it's like December, like whatever, you can still tap into this energy. You can still call on the Neturu. You can still, for those who don't know, Neturu just means the gods and goddesses of ancient Egypt. You can call on them. You can visualize the portal opening anytime, right? We can go into a whole thing about, is time even real? Does time even exist? Why can't you visualize going through the Lionsgate portal at any day, any time? You can. You can. You can do the backpack visualization anytime that you want to. But at this time on 8/8, it's just like you've got this extra boost. So you've got this extra boost because the stars are literally in alignment. Sirius is literally rising again over the Giza Plateau. Very, just very, very cool. So we have that going on in the sky. But we also have, what also happens with these portals is we have a collective kind of amplification of energy. So whenever you have a whole lot of people doing spell work, doing meditation, doing Kundalini yoga, you know, whatever people are doing, everyone's like, oh, it's 8/8, I got to do something. It's like the full moon. Oh, it's the full moon. I got to put my crystals out. I got to do a spell. You get this amplification energy of like, okay, it creates a buzz. So even without the stars being in alignment and, you know, ancient Egypt and the gods and goddesses and all this other stuff, anytime you have a whole bunch of people, even if this was all like bullshit, right? Even if the 8/8 thing was like, actually I'd done all this research and I completely debunked it and it's not even in alignment and Sirius isn't even there and like whatever, even if it was like none of that was actually happening, but people still thought it was, then you still have this amplification of this energy. So you can still go, okay, well, everybody else is doing it, so I'll hang on to that and I'll do something for myself as well. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? So I shared a little bit about my practice, this visualization of like, you know, you're walking through the portal, you let go of what you don't need to, what you no longer want to take with you, you set intentions. But you can really use this portal for anything. You can use any of these portals for anything. If you have some healing, you know, some heart healing, and you're just like, I just want to heal my heart. I just want to like feel some healing, then you can use this portal for your healing. If you're like, you've got a thing that you really want to manifest, I've got a thing I really want to manifest, I'm going to see if I can do it in this portal. You know, then you're just like, you focus your energy and your intention on that at this time, and you just go, okay, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. You write it down, you do some spells, you do some affirmations, whatever your thing is that you enjoy doing that that works for you. You talk to people about it, you put it out there, you say what you want. And saying that, you know, on 8-8, tell everybody what you want. There's a whole lot of, and like, again, going off on a tangent here, but there's a whole lot of like people that will tell you never tell anyone about your dreams because they'll just like laugh at you and they won't, you know, then they'll like harsh the energy and you won't be able to manifest it. And it's like, yeah, but what if you tell people and they're like, oh, actually, I know someone that could help you with that. You know, what if you're looking for a new job and you go, hey, I'm looking for a new job. And then someone knows someone and then you've got a new job, right? So be careful, like, you know, be discerning about who you tell. You might not want to just go out into the street and be like, I want a literary agent. But that's something that I want, so I should do what I'm saying. So at the moment, I'm looking for a literary agent for my new novel, which is called Roxy, the Ghost and the Bad Boy. At least that's the working title. And yes, it's about a girl who meets a ghost, and it's pretty cool. Anyway, so put it out there. Like, what do you want? What are you looking for? Really put it out there during this portal. But you can use it for anything. You can use it for anything. Whatever magic you're trying to make, whatever healing you want to experience. If you just want like more joy or more love or, you know, whatever you want, a really good thing that we can be doing at this time as well is just gratitude. Like the more gratitude we can cultivate over this time, the better. Other things you can do, talk to your spirit guides, talk to your angels, talk to the Netaru, talk to the gods and goddesses of ancient Egypt. Connect with them, sit with them, do some devotional practices to them, put up a picture. You can, if you have one of my oracle decks, that has like a bunch of the Netaru in there. We've got Isis, Thoth, Horus and Hathor in the first deck, and then we've got Maat in the second deck. Put them on your altar or just stick it somewhere where you can see it, light a candle, say a prayer. Send your love to them. Like that can be a really beautiful thing to do at this time as well. But yeah, essentially you can use this portal for anything. That's the gist, basically. So use it wisely. And that's it. That's it. That's all my thoughts on my thoughts and my research on the 8-8 Lion's Gate. Also forgot to mention that there is a connection, of course, with Sekhmet, the lion goddess, and working with her could be really powerful as well. But she is, she's really not to be messed with. She's very, very powerful. And when you start to work with her, she really like, she doesn't, she won't take your shit, basically. Like, she will help you to shift and release what you no longer want, like nothing else. She'll just be like, give it to me, give it all to me. She'll look in your backpack and she'll be like, nah, you're not taking any of this. She'll be like, all right, can I have this one thing? she's fierce, but she's very powerful. So if you have a lot that you really want to clear and let go, she could be someone to work with as well. So the final thing that I need to tell you about is that I am going to be hosting a workshop, this Lion's Gate. If you're watching this at a different Lion's Gate, then it might still be on my website. It's called, what have I called it? Sound Codes, Syrian Sound Codes. And what we're going to do is we're going to gather in sacred space. We are going to do some witchy woo-woo stuff together. We're going to pull some cards. We're going to do some journaling. We're going to go on a meditation to meet with your Syrian guides. And we're also going to do a little bit of breath work and a mantra, which on my searching, I have found that allegedly this mantra was chanted in ancient Egypt and in Atlantis. And these sound codes in this mantra have been shared for this really, really long time through all of these different ancient practices and into this Kundalini yoga lineage. So when I read that, I was like, ooh, okay. And actually, a really interesting thing happened when I was kind of starting to get the nudge to do this workshop. I was actually thinking about that mantra, which was kind of strange because it's not one that you'd necessarily put with the Lion's Gate. But then when I was looking at the Lion's Gate, I found this article that says it's got its origins in ancient Egypt and in Atlantis. So I was like, okay, that's good enough for me. And with all of these things, whether this is true, whether we could ever know this for sure, the intention is everything. So, just having the intention when you chant these mantras that you're connecting with this energy. It can really make it happen. Okay, all of the links will be below on how you can join if you would like to come and experience some Syrian sound codes with me. And I just wish you an absolutely amazing, beautiful, powerful, prosperous, transformative Lionsgate. Sending you lots and lots of love, and I will see you next time.
You've been listening to New Age Hipster Radio. For more good vibes and spiritual goodness, head to newagehipster.co. Thanks for listening and peace out.